Hi, everybody. I'm Arun Venugopal, and this is The Takeaway. In a downtown Manhattan courthouse, the trial of Harvey Weinstein has been moving quickly. The Hollywood mogul is accused of raping a woman in 2013 and sexually assaulting another in 2006. He's pleaded not guilty and denied all allegations. The prosecution has already brought several women to testify against the former producer, and they shared graphic details of their assaults. Meanwhile, the defense has worked to undermine their allegations, including by pointing to one victim's continued contact with Weinstein after the alleged assault. For more on how the trial is proceeding, I'm joined by Clémence Michelon. She's a U.S. culture writer for The Independent. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me again.
So tell us, Clémence, what is the atmosphere like inside the courtroom?
So this courtroom is a very tense environment. I was notably there the day of the opening arguments, where the prosecution gave no holds barred, blistering opening statement, as you might expect. It's a very contentious atmosphere, a lot of objections on the defense's part, most of them overruled, some of them were allowed. The assistant district attorney, so speaking on behalf of the prosecution, pointing to Weinstein, calling him a rapist, really trying to engage with the jury.
And are the survivors or the alleged survivors of his assaults present in the courtroom as well?
Some of them have been inside the courtroom as witnesses. And we have heard from one of the two women whose allegations have led to the charges he's facing right now. Her name is Mimi Halei, and she is the woman whose claims have led to the 2006 charge. And we have heard from other women who also say they were attacked by Weinstein. Their stories are too old to lead to new criminal charges because the statute of limitations has run out. But the prosecution is having them on the stand as witnesses to try to build what they say is a picture of recurring predatory behavior from Weinstein.
Last time The Takeaway spoke to you, the trial was just about to begin, and one of the things that stood out was that the jury selection process was going to take 2 weeks. How complicated was that process ultimately?
It did last 2 weeks, so the predictions were correct, which is on the longer side for jury selection. More than 100 potential jurors were dismissed. The whole point was to find jurors who could rule on the criminal charges as neutrally as possible. And we had cases where people who had read Ronan DeFaro's book, Catch and Kill, which is about his entire investigation, because he was one of the journalists who broke the Weinstein story in 2017. So the people who had said they'd read this book were dismissed. There were a couple of issues. So the prosecution accused the defense of systematically trying to remove young women from the jury. The defense said, no, that's not what we're doing. What we are doing is trying to get a jury that understands how relationships and conversations between men and women worked in the 90s. But ultimately, they settled on 7 men and 5 women.
You mentioned that we've already heard from one of the women accusing Weinstein. What was her story?
So Mimi Halei alleges that Weinstein forced oral sex on her. And it was a very strong, powerful testimony. She was sobbing at times. And then that testimony was supported the next day by her former roommate, who said Weinstein would allegedly show up to their apartment unannounced, and that Halei recounted the alleged assault to her, and the roommate said that she thought it sounded like rape and said, do you want to go to a lawyer? And she says Halei didn't feel that she could or wanted to pursue this for a variety of reasons.
I want to turn now to the defense's strategy in these trials. Could you break down for us what their argument has been?
So far, what we are seeing from the defense isn't so much a debate on the facts as they are presented by the alleged victims, but more their characterization. You know, why did you keep texting him afterwards? Why did you keep seeing him? Were you really scared of him, et cetera? It's more questioning the picture that the women are painting, much more than the basis of the facts.
Why is the defense so focused on this particular idea?
A lot of people have these conceptions, right? That people still think that rape and assault is still a matter of strangers in dark alleys. And the defense is going after the credibility of the women. If they're using this argument, it's because they think it's going to resonate with the jury. It's because they think it's their best shot at getting an acquittal. And because these are very strong, powerful ideas that have been in our society for a while. Now, the prosecution is trying to counterbalance that by, first of all, having a number of women take the stand. And they also questioned a forensic psychiatrist who also testified in the Cosby trial. And she was trying to dispel myths about sexual assault and rape and the people who are victims, for example, explaining that most survivors keep in touch with their attacker.
So in that sense, it's been about 3 years or so since Harvey Weinstein was accused, and it fundamentally changed our culture, at least in the public discourse. Is there any way to know if the changes we're seeing outside of the courtroom are impacting what's happening inside the courtroom?
That was the whole issue, right, during jury selection, which we were just talking about. It's strange in a way because this is a trial that is very much of its time. You know, it's the second high-profile trial of the Me Too movement after Bill Cosby. But the entire challenge for both sides was also to find jurors who could presumably set that aside and rule solely on the criminal charges. And that might seem a little weird or a little counterintuitive, but that is how it works inside the courtroom.
I've been really interested in hearing your accounts of covering this trial, and I'd like to read an excerpt from a recent piece you wrote in The Independent. You say, "It's interesting to know that journalists are not explicitly expected to doubt people who say they've been victims of other types of crimes. The word accuser symbolizes how fraught the situation is. It's almost exclusively used in the context of sexual misconduct allegations. Someone says they've been robbed. The default mode is to believe them unless specific elements suggest they might be lying. They're not an accuser. They're the alleged victim of a crime." What's the point you were trying to make?
The point I was trying to make, which I feel strongly about, is that believing people isn't bias. Believing people who say they were abused, it's not optional. When you're covering those things, of course there's always a level of fact-checking. Of course you're going to cross-reference things. And in terms of ruling on the facts and on whether there should be a conviction, that's the role of the jury and the court, and that's still happening more than 2 years after the allegations first came out. And I think if someone is going to go inside the courtroom and cover what's going on inside, it is their duty to also have a working understanding of the justice system and how it often fails survivors of sexual assault for many reasons. But we know a lot of those allegations never lead to conviction. And I think empathy is a very key value in what we do.
In terms of the trial, what next?
So things are moving faster than expected. The trial was originally expected to last for 4 weeks, which would have taken us into February. Now it looks like the prosecution is almost done calling all the witnesses that they have said they would. I believe early next week they should be done with that. That's just according to what we know. Of course, there's always the possibility that they have something else up their sleeve that we don't know about. So we're expecting more testimony from more women who either say they were attacked by Weinstein or are friends or relatives or know in some capacity women who have come forward against him and who are trying to support their testimony.
Updates from the Harvey Weinstein trial. We appreciate the help, Clémence. Clémence Michelon is the U.S. culture writer for The Independent.
Thanks so much for having me.